on planet Earth, and I really mean it. I don't just say it. You are the greatest. Say hello there, young man.
Happy Wednesday, guys. It's going to be an awesome day, sir. I'm excited for this teaching.
Well, to Jesus be all the praise, the glory, the honor. Today, I want to continue teaching from the car. We're on our way to Orlando. My precious Toshi, it's her birthday is coming up. So we're going to have a nice little get-together with the family. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, Father, I give you praise for what you're going to show us from your blessed word today. Lord, let this be a quickening word in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen and amen. All right, let's begin with Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here are the five divisions of the enemy's army. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now remember, I've taught on this already, but I want to remind you, the loins deal with the mind. Your mind filled with truth. If you want to be protected from the enemy, these are the defensive weapons we have. We'll talk about the offensive in just a moment. But here we have it. Your loins girt about with truth. And Peter said, we are to gird the loins of our minds. So the truth must fill our minds first. And then the breastplate of righteousness, meaning our hearts. And then he goes on to say something wonderful and powerful. And he says, forgive me, I just went on to another chapter, so we'll go back to it. And then he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, meaning the word affecting your walk, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the word in your mouth, and finally here, the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, of course, the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God, and it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Let's talk about this. What is the helmet of salvation? Now, this is something very important we have to look at. The helmet of salvation is not saying, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. It's not the assurance of salvation, it's more than that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. You know, I think I like teaching from the car. It's very, how shall I say, exciting and interesting. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, now, let's go to understand this fully. Let's go also to Hebrews 3, verse 6. Because we have to see what the Word of God says about all this. Hebrews 3, verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So the hope of salvation is my walk with God, my steadfast walk with the Lord, my fellowship with the Lord. Because, see, the Bible says we have to endure unto the end in Mark 13:13. He that endures, meaning he is who is walking with the Lord. You know, we talk about the word, you know, filling our mind, filling our hearts, filling our walk, filling our mouth. But if our walk with God, if our fellowship with the Lord weakens, none of this is going to work. If we walk away from the faith, none of this is going to work. So the helmet of salvation is our endurance in the faith. It's our walk with the Lord steadfast, and remaining steadfast, fellowship with God daily, ongoing. That is the hope of salvation. Jesus is the hope of our salvation as long as we walk with Him. Now, the Bible says, if we do not walk with the Lord, when people stop walking with God, look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 18:12. In Jeremiah, and you see, you know what? You see a lot of this today in the world. So if you look at Jeremiah 18, and you look at verse 12, it says this. Then they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. When people stop walking with God, they walk after their own devices, and they allow their wicked hearts to lead and guide them. They're not really walking with the Lord now. They're walking with the flesh. So the minute people stop walking with God, the flesh takes over. Their devices take over. Their wicked hearts take over. And that's how you know Jesus is no longer there. Because the flesh is ruling their life right now. So, one more thing I want to add about freedom from bondage. We've seen the armor filling our minds, our hearts, our walk, our talk. We've seen where fellowship with God is important, but what else? It says this, and this is extremely important now when we look at it in Ephesians 6 and 17. Notice, and I just read it, but I think it's important right now for me to explain it a little further because so important. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This here is so vitally important. Why? Well, because it's the offensive weapon. So now we take on the offensive weapon, and frankly, we declare war. Do you know why? Because the minute we begin to use the Word of God, it's Jesus who begins to fight. He takes on the fight. He is the man of war. Remember that. So we are using the Word defensively in the beginning. Now when war is declared, the Lord steps in. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In Psalm 45, for example, and verse 1, we have this beautiful portion of the Word about the Lord Himself fighting and the Lord Himself taking the sword. Because the second the sword begins to be activated, it's the Lord Himself who takes it. So it says in verse 3 of Psalm 45, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most High, with thy glory and thy majesty. So the second we take the sword of the Spirit, He's the one who uses it. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. I love it. So it's God who uses the word out of our lips, frankly, not us. And so He uses it against the enemies. I love what Isaiah 27 verse 1 says. There's so much in the Word of God about this. Isaiah 27 verse 1. I hope you're writing all the scriptures down, by the way. In that day, the Lord with His sore and great and strong sword shall punish who? Shall punish the piercing serpent. That's the devil himself. God uses His sword, His word, against the devil. And Leviathan, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. Hallelujah. You don't have to fight the devil. God is fighting him for you. And he wins every single time. So we fill our mind with the word, our heart with the word, our walk with the word, our mouth with the word. We walk with God and fellowship with Him, and Jesus does the rest. So now when we have the word in us, He'll use it. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's not your sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It didn't say take your sword, right?
No, sir.
It says take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So He's the one who's using it. It's His sword. So all I have to really do is fill my mind, fill my heart, fill my walk, and fill my mouth. And the rest He does. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's beautiful. And now, God Almighty says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer. Now it's time to do something that's very, very important, because prayer keeps the word active. Did you hear what I said? Prayer, I'm asking you, keeps the word of God active in us. If there's no prayer, the word is not active. It's not activated. Prayer activates the word. Prayer fuels the word. Prayer is the engine of the word. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, praying always, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now this is very interesting, because there are seven revelations of prayer. Please write them down. Number one, confession. When the apostles and back Moses and the Old Covenant, and many of the prophets in the Old Covenant, whenever they began to pray, they confessed who God is. They didn't confess their sin. They said, you're God. And you said by the word of the prophets. Remember in Acts? When they came back after being threatened by the Pharisees and said, Lord, you're God. And Lord, you spoke by the mouth of David and said, why are the heathen raging? And they began to declare who God is. That's confession. Prayer in the Spirit always begins with confessing who God is in our life. Who God is. Hallelujah. What the Bible says about Him. Number two, prayer is supplication. Making our requests known to the Lord. Number three, prayer is adoration. Prayer is worship. And worship, which is adoration, prepares us for the next. What is it? Intercession. You can't intercede without worshiping. So confession, supplication, adoration, intercession. Number five, what is prayer? Communion. Remember, He said, with all prayer. Pray with all prayer. So prayer is more than one thing. Prayer is confession, supplication, adoration, intercession, and now communion, fellowship with God, intimacy with God. And prayer is also thanksgiving. And number seven, prayer is praise. So whenever we talk about thanksgiving and praise, it's also prayer, because we're talking to God when we're praising Him. We're thanking Him. That's also prayer. We thank you, Lord. You know, we're talking to Him. So prayer with God is seven revelations. I'm going to repeat them so you can write them down. Number one, confession. Number two, supplication, making your request known. Number three, adoration, which is worship. Number four, intercession, because intercession is impossible without worship. Number five, communion, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, intimacy with God. Number six, thanksgiving. Number seven, praise. And when you do that, the power of prayer becomes awesome. And it's in the Spirit, you know. Meaning, the Holy Spirit has to quicken all that in your life. That's why I always say to people, and I tell you, wait till God quickens you. Don't utter a word till God quickens you. Psalm 80, verse 18, quicken me and then, Lord, I'll call on you. So the power of prayer becomes awesome, and now it begins to direct movements in glory. Did you hear what I said? Movements in heaven are restricted by movements on earth through your life. Remember what Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning that our activities on earth move heaven. So I repeat, movements in heaven are restricted by movements on the earth. So the will of God is governed by the prayer of saints. The will of God is governed by your prayers. You say, where is that? Ezekiel 36:37. Woo! That's a good one. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36. Let me just go to it. I'm using my iPad, and now sometimes it gives me a little problem, but it's okay. It's behaving today. And 37. Thus says the Lord God. Notice the words. Thus says the Lord God. Oh, I love this. I will yet, for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like flock. So God's will is to increase Israel like a flock, but he won't do it till they ask him. Did you get that? So I'll repeat it one more time. Verse 37, Ezekiel 36. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this, I'm waiting for them to pray, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel, and I'll do it for them when they cry. And here's what I am wanting to do. I will increase them with men like a flock, but I will not do it till they pray. Meaning, very clearly again, that heaven is governed by our prayer life. God won't do it till we pray. So God plans it, we pray it, he fulfills it. So prayer is not forcing a reluctant God to do something. So it's like this. God says, I'm going to heal Janet. That's his will, you see? Then he says, I'm waiting for her to ask me before I do it. So his will is governed by her prayer. So if she prays, she'll be healed. If she doesn't pray, she won't be. Even though God already ordained it, God already promised it, God already planned it. So God has a plan for you. Remember his plan? His plan is perfection for your life. So now, what is he waiting for? God plans it in heaven, waits for us. I think many people are going to get to heaven and see how many plans were never fulfilled for them. Because they never asked. You see, when God puts a burden, boy, this is strong. You got to hear this. When God puts a burden in your heart to pray for something, it's because he already planned to do it. He already planned to fulfill it. It says so in this verse. Ezekiel clearly states, chapter 36, verse 37, I will yet be inquired of by Israel about this. I want to multiply them like a flock of sheep, but I won't do it till they ask me. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because in heaven it's already established, and God is waiting for us to establish it on earth before he fulfills it in our life. Aren't you getting blessed? I'm getting blessed just saying it.
It's like when you had to ask for the stadiums.
Huh?
It's like when you had to ask for the stadiums.
Right? Look. When I began the Crusades, the Lord said to me, he said, I will not do it till you ask me. I won't do it till you ask me. And frankly, I did not feel like I was worthy of it. You mind putting my mic back on my jacket here?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Can you do it for me? Yeah, just put it right here. Yeah. If not, I'll just you know what? Let me hold it. So I didn't want to do it. And one day I did. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to fill stadiums for your glory. And I heard all around me people cheering. I had a vision of people cheering. God did not do it till I asked them. You know what is so strange that I never shared? There was a guy who used to come to our church. He was not a Christian. He was very famous in Hollywood, but he was very psychic. He was very involved in witchcraft. And we kind of got to know him before we knew he was really weird. And he sat at dinner with us one day. And he looked like he was really hungry for God, but he really, really wasn't. He came to offer me a position in Hollywood, and I told him no, and he cussed me out. I'll never forget that filth coming out of his mouth. Here in Orlando, right by Disney World. And we're sitting at dinner, and he looks at me with these horrible eyes of his and says, "You're going to fill stadiums." Before I knew it, he knew it. I said, "How you know it?" He said, "I know it. The devil told him." You see, Satan knows things too, you know. Satan knows things too. I will never forget. My mom and my dad were into palm reading and having people come to our home to read our fortunes, you know, before we got saved. And my daddy was shaving one day with the old razors, you know, like look like knives. And a woman walked in to talk to him about something. And I'm standing there watching my father shave. I was probably 5 years old. And I was watching my daddy shave because I enjoyed watching him shave, you know. And she looked at me and gave me the most horrible look. And looked at my dad and said, "This boy is going to be famous in the world." I'll never forget that.
Wow.
And it shook me up and shook my dad's up. I was only five. The devil knew. The devil knew.
If he knows, how much more should we
Yeah, if he knows, exactly, why aren't we asking God to do it?
Wow.
Because the enemy knows some things, not all things. But God will not do them till we ask. And that's why I heard the Lord say to me one day, "Ask me now." And I didn't feel I was worthy. And when I did, I heard people all around me cheering in that vision. In heaven, I saw people cheering. So it's very important you really understand this about prayer. And what did Jesus say? In Matthew 18, he said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Father, in the name of Jesus, hold this for me, please. I want to stretch my hand to. No, hold this. Just take it from me. Take my iPad. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe that your people will get this word today, Lord, to see the importance. Let them know the importance of asking things of you that you already have planned to do for them. In Jesus' name, Lord, put that fire in their heart. Put that burden in their soul. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Keep your eye on the road now. Bless you.
I won't close my eyes.
Please don't close your eyes. We can close our eyes. You keep yours open. All right.
That was powerful.
Do it, huh?
That was powerful.
It's the word. It's the word of God. So we cannot be free from bondage till the word fills our mind, fills our hearts, fills our walk and our talk. And then we fellowship with God. And then we let him use the sword. And then we pray till God does it. Hallelujah. And Lord, bless them financially today. Bless them mightily financially. Let this be a time of such rewards and such abundance and such a harvest coming one after another in the name of Jesus as they live for you, love you, and obey you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, go ahead and sow seed for the Lord's work today. As you love him, he will bless you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 8:21 that I may cause those who love me to inherit substance. So as you love him and you sow in his work, you'll have substance. All right, you can sow right there on the platform you're watching me on. You can give it to or go to benihin.org or simply text BHM 45777. Much love and join BHI. I'm telling you, you are missing out on BHI. I'm teaching on Revelation now, verse by verse. Woo! What do you think of last night? Come on, tell him.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Huh?
The revelation, the connections. I mean,
you gotta be a part of BHI. I'm telling you.
And they can join.
Yeah, you can join right now, and watch me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they do, I recommend they watch those archives.
Yeah, you can watch the archives too.
Yeah.
For $25 a month, that's all you pay, and you'll be a part of a beautiful Bible school. We're almost at 3,000 students.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, much love. Shalom. Bye-bye.